There's plenty of room for blind people in the field of manufacturing. The only problem I have with blind people in the field of manufacturing is they used to get ripped off. You used to work, produce a lot of money for a lot of sighted managers. A lot of sighted managers got a lot of money. A lot of agencies said they were doing good things for blind guys, and meanwhile, blind guys are making 20 bucks a week. That's no good. No more. No longer minimum wage. There is a factory here in Albany. It's run by the Northeast Association of the Blind. Its director is a gentleman named Chris Burke. Chris is with us today. I asked Chris to come and talk to us about an agency and its approach towards subminimum wage, and an agency that has turned its back on subminimum wage, and an agency where people can make a living working in a factory and providing for their families. So, for whatever he cares to say, for as short a time as he cares to say it, since I'm running over, but sufficient to the need, I give you Chris Burke.
Bag of gold coins up here.
Yeah.
Good afternoon, everybody. It's a pleasure to be here.
You're going to help us make more.
Yeah. This is my first NFB conference, and I'm thrilled to be here. And as soon as I walked in the door, thank you. As soon as I walked in the door, a lady in the back won a $50 bill. I mean, what's wrong with that? That's great. I love this. It's very nice. I love conferences where you give out money every 15 minutes. That's right. And I think it's awful nice of you to play all this music out of Carl's record collection, but we won't talk about that. As Carl said, I run the Northeastern Association of the Blind right here in Albany. Association was founded in 1908, and we've been going up and down for the past 103 years, I have to say. And I want to talk a little bit about our history, myself, and a little bit about what we're doing. But before we get there was some discussions earlier about the resolutions that you have out there. Carl was nice enough to pass them along to me for our consideration to see if we can support that. And I've read them. Of course, we support getting rid of subminimum wage. Absolutely. I just have to get it through my own little bureaucracy, my attorney, my executive committee, and then we'll find a way to formally support that. And as far as the legislation that's in front of the governor right now for the telephone newspaper, absolutely. On Monday, I will call my legislators. We'll get letters out to the governor's office, absolutely. We promote that program every single day. There's no competitive, mixing up our products a little bit more so we can continue to create employment and pay the wages that people are entitled to and should be getting. Right now, just real quick, our manufacturing operation on the main floor, on the line, the average wage is $8.50. So everybody's above minimum wage and has full benefits, the same benefits I'm eligible for, anybody's eligible for, you earn on the manufacturing floor. It was two separate groups for a while, and we worked to really bring people together. The organization really operates more as one organization now. We are primarily a textile operation in manufacturing. We make reflective safety vests primarily, and we have a variety of other products as well. But we make the reflective safety vests for the New York City Transit Authority as our largest customer, Long Island Railroad, the Metro North Railroad, DOT, State Police, and then a whole variety of others. It's all start to finish work. They're all made right here. We do about 75,000 vests a year, highly skilled labor, and 75% of the work that's done, of course, is done, direct labor is done by individuals who are blind. And we're very proud of the products we make. And our competition are products that are coming in from overseas. So we don't really get any kind of a break or any preference or anything like that. We can't operate that way. We have to operate on like a business. Everyone in NABA does multiple jobs. You don't have one job. You have to build your skill set, because there's a lot of competition. We need to remain competitive. Even though we're selling to state and federal governments, they could just as easily go out and buy them from somebody else. So we have to maintain that. In the process of sort of restructuring the organization, I instituted what we call all hands meetings, meetings like this, where everybody gets together, anybody can ask anything, we talk about anything. And one individual who's working in the manufacturing department asked why there weren't any blind employees in any supervisory capacities. And I thought that was a pretty good question. And so we started a program of upper mobility, not just for people who are blind, but anybody who works in the organization, give people an opportunity. And that required cross-training. It required establishing a mentoring program within the organization. And today we've got 5 supervisors in manufacturing, and I'm proud to say 4 of those individuals are blind. And they're running, we do $4.5 million with the textile manufacturing. Really high specifications, I mentioned real high competition. These are really high-skilled, high-qualified positions. If we don't keep our quality up, we give our customers an excuse to go someplace else, just like every business. So we're very proud of that, and we'll keep moving that along. That's one side of our business. The other side of what we do is full-service rehabilitation services in 15 counties around Albany and into the Hudson Valley. And on that side, we've also had upper mobility opportunities as well. And we have, our one big success story is a lady that came to us as an administrative assistant is now runs our low vision clinic, serving clients throughout the 15 regions, and she's blind as well. And she's a real success story, and now she's out doing what I'm doing and talking and making presentations and really spreading the word about NABA. So she's another wonderful success story. One more thing I'd like to really quick talk about is something that we're trying to change. When I got to NABA, we really didn't have any children's programming whatsoever. So we started a camp, a summer program, just to give a camp experience for kids. And that was great, kids 8 to 12 years of age. And then after a couple of years, they start coming out of that program. Well, what are we doing next? So we just completed our first ever teen program. We call it a tween program. I'm not really sure what tween is supposed to stand for, but 13 to 15-year-olds. And what we're trying to do in that program is, yes, have a camp experience, but also give them some exposure to what it's like to go see the admissions counselor for college, what's it like to be independent, taking the bus, we went to a BEP stand. Let's go talk to people that are out there doing it already. Yes, you can do the same things anyone else can do. And we brought peers in and mentors in. It was a very successful program. And the commission, I have to give them a lot of credit, really supported this program. And it's not only helping these teenagers, it's also helping NABA. So we understand what we need to do better so we can get people prepared when we're going to help them get a job out in the community. So it works both ways. We're very proud of that as well. We're trying to change some of the work experience trainings. When we have a young person who needs work experience, we're trying to change some of the places that we offer them so they broaden the range of opportunities for them. We're working now in retail. We did a talking book library. We're with nonprofit organizations, libraries. We had someone placed in the U.S. Committee for Refugees here in Albany, as well as an animal shelter and a car detailing operation. So really trying to mix it up and not so much have us say what's right for you, but follow what people want to do and place them. And we've been having a lot of success in that. So we are fundamentally changing what we do in NABA. Carl's right, you know, there's a lot of pride in our manufacturing, what we do, and it's a real service. And it's a real shame that we've got so much competition and so much of our manufacturing is going overseas. We try and develop partners here in New York State to manufacture products. We partner with a manufacturer right here in Albany to make some of the best products we do. And we're always looking for other opportunities because there's so much pressure to push it overseas. And it's kind of a shame. We take a lot of pride in what we do. We try and make it a well-rounded opportunity for the folks that work with us. And again, we are an average of $8.50. Our supervisors make just over $9 an hour. And again, the full benefit. So we're pushing that. We're trying to make it a little better. We're not doing anyone any good if they're making sub-minimum wage or minimum wage. You could easily argue that minimum wage is even too low right now, and we need to push that as well. So we agree with that 100%. We're trying to push partnerships with other agencies that, like NABA across the state that run manufacturing, so we can be stronger, so we can partner together and create even more opportunities. When we all operate individually on our own, there's only so much you can do. We're stronger if we work together. So we're trying to promote that as well. So moving forward, we're trying to identify products that we can make here and partnerships we can develop to create the next wave of manufacturing products. But we're also looking at what can we do with technology. We want to be involved in creating call center jobs, database management, and get much more in the technical document imaging, whatever we might do, to get better quality jobs and different jobs than some of the manufacturing. Again, to try and broaden our base of opportunities we can create for people. That was kind of quick, but there's a little bit of, it's a 103-year-old agency. It's like moving a ship in a strong breeze. But we're really doing it, and we think we're doing the right thing, and we're having a lot of success in developing a lot of partnerships. So if anybody's saying, yes, I'll take happy to take questions for anybody.
Hi, Cheryl Echeverria. I have a question in reference to the program in general. You're saying you're starting people out at $8, $9 an hour. How often are they reviewed? How, you know, when do they get raises? I mean, is it annually? Is it, you know, how are people, you know, encouraged to continue working there if they're just making eight? I'm sure that's the starting salary, but what? How often are they evaluated?
We start at minimum wage. The average is $8.50 on getting people up. But yeah, we have an annual review process. And how we're structured is we like to give a cost of living adjustment, right? You've heard that term, a COLA, of a certain percent. And then based on your results of your performance review, you get the balance up to 3%. Last year, you know, sales were down and we struggled a bit. We didn't do anything last year. There was no increases for anybody in the agency at all. So this year, we're getting back to doing that. And so someone can earn up to 3% increase a year based on their performance. And whenever there's an opportunity to move up in the agency, that position is always posted internally first, and we give a two-week opportunity for anybody to apply for that job. We just had a gentleman who came to us, wasn't having any success out getting a job competitively, and he came in and took a manufacturing job. And what he really wanted to do was work in custodial services. That's what he was out to do. And he just applied for a job that we had, and he moved out of manufacturing, moved up. I'm not sure what that pays, but it certainly pays more than he was making, and he's happy as could be. He's doing what he wanted to do. So we try and create those opportunities internally. Thank you.
I have a comment, Chris. Maybe it's in the form of a question. You talked about advancing blind guys in your agency from the beginning, from the minimum wage position, which is, you know, like I think we can all agree that minimum wage is pretty crummy right now, but it always was. And regardless whether it was a dollar an hour, or actually the first minimum wage was 60 cents an hour. And under the first minimum wage law, we've come a little bit from there, but not a heck of a lot. Subway fare was a nickel, by the way. But you talked about creating a climate, an environment where now blind people are advancing into supervisory positions. And that question was put to you at a meeting like this where you had your whole staff, whether it's the manufacturing staff or supervisory staff. Somebody asked you that at a meeting that you had created. I'm just curious, in the history of NABA, when was that, a couple of years ago when you took over as director?
I've been in NABA for 8 years. That's a good question. Mm-hmm. In 8 years, I've been the executive director for 2.5 years now. And I did this when I came on as executive director. So 8 years, probably, I guess, 5 years ago.
Okay. You did it when you came on as executive director?
As the assistant executive director.
Okay. Here. I was just wondering if... your ascendancy to the executive director's position is when things changed at NABA. I was just doing a little historic research here for my own selfish purposes. Okay, I can take two more. I heard David. I knew somebody was before David.
Yeah, hi, it's Chris Schwing. Hi, Chris. Oh,
okay.
How are you?
Okay, Chris. Chris. I heard David first.
Oh well, she gave me the mic, so.
Sorry. Okay. Anyway, having said that, I can't help how I hear it. So, David, then Chris.
Okay.
I've got me a hum up here. Yeah.
I have a thank you and a recommendation.
Oh, that's hard. That's a horrid mic. David, can you stand up and project? You know how to do that.
I have a thank you and a
next time you come, you will. I think you made your point up here. I think Chris is appropriately humbled.
Yeah, that's a great recommendation.
I'll get Chris Schwing. I will get you in 30 seconds. It's not important to anybody except maybe one or two other people in the room. Chris and I spent a lot of time talking about Cat's Bakery, Singers. Linda Webb? Yeah, okay. We spent a lot of time talking about the Dairy Barn. And yeah, Chris is from Liberty, Lynn. Yes. So we spent a lot of time. Chris used, we had a place in 29 Orchard. Chris used to deliver papers there. It's the world is shrinking every day. Either that or my head is getting too big. One or the other. All right, Chris Schwing.
I don't want to take up a lot of time, but I just want to say that I received my VR and my mobility training from NABA, and I'm grateful for that. But also, Chris, if it's not a privacy issue, maybe you just want to mention Josie real quick and her, you know, milestone. People might be impressed by that.
Thank you, Chris, and yes, thank you for that recommendation. That was a complete oversight. Who would come without Braille? Anyway, we'll deal with that on Monday morning, I promise you. There is a young lady that works at NABA in our manufacturing department, Gelsomina Greco, Patty Greco, and she celebrated 50 years of employment at NABA this past spring. I've been in NABA 8 years. That's a record for me, but she's been there 50 years, and she's a wonderful individual, and it is worth mentioning, and we made a big deal about it. I made her honorary executive director, by the way. So, thank you, Chris.
Will that reflect in her pension?
Yeah. I got a door prize.
Yep, one second. Chris, I want to thank you for being with us today. It's good to have an agency that's starting to get it.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Chris.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I appreciate
we'll
it.
We'll be in touch.
All right, wonderful.
And thank you, NABA, for supporting no more sub-minimum wage. 14C has got to go.
Okay, we got a door prize. Angie?
Where?
Yes.